job to do. This is the business plan. So, go ahead, Beth.
All right. Well, as you know, next Tuesday, in 1 week, we'll be presenting our 2012-13 budget to the voters.
Whoops, sorry. I didn't realize it turned you off, too.
Press your button. Oh, you got... Yeah, there's a...
Oh, I got a bad one, don't I?
Yep. We gave it to you.
I'm sorry. Didn't realize you turned everything off.
Okay. The time for the vote is noon to 8 p.m. It's in the school auditorium. We ask during school hours that you use the back entrance, which is the side entrance for... We call it the keypad entrance. That's where we have the elementary pickup and drop off. Give another reference. Just a few little housekeeping things. Absentee voting. Today was the last day to request to have it mailed. So after tonight, today, it has to be hand-delivered. The applications need to be delivered to the district office the day before the vote, May 14th, till Wednesday, 4 p.m. And then you can actually deliver the ballot the day of the vote up until 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
5.
But that would be in the, you're going to be in the auditorium though. All right, this is the budget packet in total. I just wanted to highlight some key points. First off, the qualifications to vote. You must be a citizen of the United States, at least 18 years of age, and a resident of the school district for at least 30 days prior to the meeting at which he or she offers the vote. Also during this vote, we have two board seats up for election. Howard Romack and Jan Woodcock, and our four nominees are Augie Brownell, Peggy McClenathan, Steve Lulla, and Dr. Carrie Brown. We also have separate propositions on the Cambridge Public Library that we asked to vote on, which is they're requesting, I don't think this is wrong. $37,850. Proposition number three is our buses for a total not to exceed $201,482. We are replacing one 65-passenger bus and one 40-plus-1 wheelchair bus. They'll be disposed of and replace them with one 66-passenger bus and one 70-passenger bus. Again, for a total not to exceed $201,482. Again, these are state aidable at the rate of 66.4 cents on a dollar. Proposition number four, we're asking for an additional 10% for our energy performance contract that the board is considering. Currently, if the board passes it by themselves, we can get 69.5 cents on the dollar. The voters can allow us to get another 10% or 79.5 cents on the dollar. And then proposition number one is our budget that I'll go in detail. We're going out $17,273,518. The budget needs to be prepared what they call a three-part budget. The first part is the administrative component. Second part is program. Third part is the capital. The administrative component comprises 9.8% of our overall budget, and this includes what you would consider administration. It's the Board of Education, district clerk, superintendent's office, the business office, tax collection duties. We also have our BOCES administrative component in this part. We have such things as the principal's supervision is also in here. We have the three principals. We have, and also in this part, people may not be aware of, is the district transportation supervisor and the buildings and grounds supervisor. Their salaries and benefits are brought up into this component, even though the bulk of the department is placed in another part of the budget. In total, the administrative component is, I have my totals here, I'm separate, sorry, $1,699,542. again, the packet goes through in detail, line by line. If you'd like, if there's any questions on the administrative component, it may be easier to deal with them at each component. Here we have the Board of Education. Okay, so I wasn't going to go line by line, but that's no problem either. We have our central administration, superintendent's office. There's other little informational pieces throughout the, where there was space. I tried to add little, you know, tidbits of information. For instance, we have an organizational chart. We have the business administration, that's the, you know, the business office, treasurer, tax collector, you know, accounts payable, payroll clerk. And within all these departments, we have supplies, equipment, contracted services or other expenses, and they can be many different things. There'll be BOCES features in there. This is where we have our auditing services that were required by law each year to have independent audit and risk analysis. We have a legal portion of our legal fees is up in the administrative component. And our records management. Again, supervision, there's the administrators, we have the two principals and the associate principal, and their support salaries. There are the two secretaries. And then the supervision non-instructional, again, is the buildings and grounds and the transportation salaries. We have some miscellaneous information. Our enrollment on Wednesday, 911 students. Our special needs students as of May 1st, we had 133 classified in district, 6 at BOCES, 6 in private placement. We have 3 administrators, 89.6 full and part-time teachers, 15 teaching assistants, 25 students that attend our CTE program at BOCES. Summer school, 99 secondary attended, 35 elementary students. We have a reading program at the elementary for children at risk so they don't have regression. And we have our support staff. I won't go through it right there. In the administrative component, you'll find things like postage, you know, mailing. All our copiers are in here. Our paper for the district-wide, our financial software support. There's many different things that are up here. It's not just, you know, supervision. There's many more to it. And that is our administrative component. Is there any questions regarding the administrative component at this time? All right. Our next component is programs, the bulk of the budget. As you can see, it makes up 71.6%, almost 72% of the overall budget. This is the nuts and bolts. This is what we're here to do. You have your, this is where we budget for our professional development, our summer curriculum work, our, what do you call it, the department heads, the coordinators, thank you. Also, in the next page, you'll see where we get into, there's a budget line, but when we have new initiatives, things that we want to try and do, this is where we'll budget for them. Last year, we started the elementary literacy program, the CCS CARES program, and the Pride Initiative. Next year, we're going to introduce Parent Portal, where parents can go into the website, look at their children's grades, assignments, assessments, and discipline referrals. It's a nice snapshot of what's going on with your child. That'll be available throughout the grade levels. We're doing curriculum mapping. We'll be going through BOCES and using the Rubicon Atlas software to develop maps of the content taught in each class. And then these maps allow teachers and administrators to look at what we teach and ensure alignment with the Common Core learning standards. Software also help identify content gaps and areas of duplicated curriculum. Additionally, using test data, we will be able to continually update maps to meet student needs. And then, starting next year, the grades K through 2, so the whole school will have electronic grading. Whereas now, there's a lot of handwritten, they change from year to year, they'll be more consistent. So we're always trying to be able to, if something comes along that looks like it's a positive thing, and we don't have that money available, undergo new initiatives. Here's, we'll have our largest expenditures. This is our regular teaching staff, their salaries, substitutes, you know, equipment, other expenses, supplies, for a total of $4.4 million. It's probably our biggest line items. These are our K-12 teachers, and the business teachers are in here, well, business and technology. The next group is our special needs or special ed. These are for our CSE co-chairs, special education teachers, speech teacher, teaching assistants, support staff as needed, whether it be a classroom or a one-to-one aid, but it's geared for special ed needs. Two big ticket items you see as the tuition for out of district placements, private placements, and then BOCES, special needs children. Here we have our summer school expenses, then we have the staff, and then other expenses. Here it's mostly salaries, the bulk of it. We do charge for children that come from out of district, but there is no charge for our own children. So there is some money recouped, but there is a revenue stream there. Next we have our school library, our computer assisted. Here we'll have our librarians support. The library books, a lot of software. We contracted BOCES for interlibrary needs. Our computer assisted, we have a technician, any equipment, any software, our hardware, and again, that's what an expense-driven aid, so we have some revenue that's generated back. We also have library aids. Some of this materials is aidable. Next, we have our guidance and health services, the nurse's office. We have three guidance counselors, two secretaries. There's a lot of supplies and other services, other expenses here because of materials that's needed for the guidance and testing. Health services, we contract. There's two registered nurses and a health office aide. And then we contract with Glens Falls Hospital for for a doctor to come in. Our psychological services, we have two psychologists, and then we have the conference and testing materials. Co-curricular, this is where we did have the extracurricular activities budgeted. And the interscholastic athletics. Next year, it'll just be the music and chorus expenses and the interscholastic that's been reinstated. Unfortunately, we had to cut some sporting. Also part of the program component is the district transportation. This is except for the supervisor, this is all expenses of the transportation department. As you can see, there's been some cuts there. Cut our contract transportation. Salaries have been cut considerably. Tried to cut back on some supplies. A component of our legal expenses are budgeted here, as well as the BOCES for scheduling, grade reporting, transcripts, permanent record labels. There's a contract with BOCES for those services. In total, the program budget is $12,361,895. Are there any questions regarding the program budget? And the last component is the capital budget. Makes up roughly 18.6%. This is basically comprised of two areas. We have our operation and maintenance, our buildings and grounds. That's our custodial staff, equipment needed. All our utilities are here. We noticed a big increase with the BOCES. We just discovered recently that if I have BOCES pay our telephone bill, we can receive 50% of your local phone calls is now BOCES able. So by having the bill sent to them directly and they pay them, we approve them, you know, we're able to review them. We're able to get this aid. So it's kind of like, why not? That's the custodial for buildings and grounds. And then it's also our debt service. So our principal and interest on our outstanding debt, as well as our $100,000 project that we do annually that is aidable 79.5 cents on the dollar. And in total, the capital budget is $3,212,081. Any questions on the capital portion? It's really a very small, I mean, dollar-wise, but it's really only two components. Yes?
Just a curiosity question. Does it cost money to have BOCES pay the bill?
No. Well, I have to budget then to them. There is a cost. Yeah, I take that back. They'll tack on like a 4%. It's minimal though, but we can get the aid back, yeah. But I have to budget that, the telephone bills there. And then, so I had to bring it down from a straight telephone line and put it into a BOCES line item. So I just had to move the expense. There's always a cost for businesses.
We're also going to explore next year the using a different service for our phones. We should be able to save some money with that.
Just let the competition, you know, work its way. So in total, there's our budget total again, $17,273,518. It is down 2.47% from the previous year's budget. Now there's some other information that legally we need to present. The next is probably an exemption impact report. This is from the two counties that that our townships are in. The first one is Washington County, and it just goes through all the various exemptions in the sideways there. We have a packet. It gives all different types of exemptions, whether it be, like our property is actually exempt. So school district, New York State lands are exempt, the county land, town lands. There's agricultural exemptions, veterans exemptions, religious exemptions, agricultural. The two stars, enhanced and basic, are part of this report. As you can see, there's numerous exemptions. What this does is it can exempt a portion of the value of your property from taxes. But I think that the thinking was that people need to know when you shift the burden, people need to see that, where the ship is coming from. The first one is Washington County, and the next one is Rensselaer County. We have three townships in Rensselaer, a much smaller portion of our overall assessments. So there's the dollars won't be as much. And the number of townships on 10. Next is the school report card.
Excuse me, Beth.
Yeah.
We have $159 million of exempt property in Washington County, in our district alone.
According to that report, yeah.
This comes from Washington County Department of Real Property Services.
And what's our total property values? Anybody remember that?
On the roll, it's $606 million for the entire, well, this year it was down to $553 million. This was in addition to that.
That's why I think they made it a point to put it out there so people could see.
I wish they'd hidden it.
Yeah.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. Yes.
question. From the top of that report, list of equalized total assessed value, that's the tax base in the school district, $618 million.
No, it's probably going to be in that. Are you at Washington County?
Yes, Washington, in Washington County, yeah.
That would be Washington County's
okay,
total assessment.
Total tax base, not the accepted tax base.
I believe so, right, yeah. That's how I would read it, yeah.
The exempt is on the back of the next page. The total exempt is on the back of that same page, 159,110.
Next is the report card, and this, unfortunately, is not really my area of expertise. Basically, help me out here, Vince. This goes through and gives all our testing results, doesn't it? And how the students score.
It compares the state exams to our local district to the state average, and comparable districts to our size and wealth.
As you can see, it almost makes up half the document, so it's quite lengthy.
It was a summary report given by the principals, I think it was 2 months ago.
Right.
3 months ago.
Yeah.
These are all legal requirements that we have to do. So the report card, there's a link to the individual report cards as well on the website. This whole document is on our website. That's what Beth's skimming through. The exemption report's there, but I think that's the only place it is, right, in this document.
Right, right.
So that's basically the budget for next year. The only other thing that I'd like to emphasize is, again, we can't tell anybody to vote for or against it, but if the budget does go down, we have to make additional cuts to the budget, totaling around $315,000. We're already down $436,000 from last year, and we still are increasing the levy by 4.27%. We are not in a good position. We did go down and talk to Betty Little. I kept saying and stressing that I wanted to get down to see her. Her office is having the state senator, the Republican advisor to the state senate, question Orps as to why we were hit worse than everybody else. I spoke with someone in Senator Little's office, and they said that since they haven't gotten any word back from New York State Office of Real Property Services, it appears that they can't even explain why we were increased as high as we were, at the rate we were, which doesn't really mean anything for this year because it's too late to fix it because it's a 3-year lag. But she agreed that we would work toward next year's problem now. So I'm encouraged by that. It doesn't mean we have more money at this point, but it's nice to know that somebody finally understands why I've been complaining all along. So other than that, do you have anything else?
No,
Carrie?
So the question, did you find out, Vincent, it sounds like you were just talking to her recently, and I know there was a question in regards to whether it was this year, last year, a combination of this year, last year.
I sent an email to, Jen Lund is the individual that I usually talk with because we work together.
Yep.
I sent an email to her the other day thanking her for everything she did because the bullet aid was released. And I hit send, and I would have to say within the next 5 minutes, the phone rang, and it was Jen. And it was a mistake. The information that was released to the papers was last year's information for this year's budget, but it was erroneously dated for next year. So this year's allotment hasn't even been given to the senators yet. And if that's the case, I'm still encouraged that we may get something. She could not guarantee me anything, but her comment was, I'd be surprised if you didn't get something.
Yeah, I heard that there was a rumor out there in regards to you making contact with this person. And when I read the stuff this time, Julian, I was reading it as,
well, that's why I said, I was trying to be polite. I said, thank you for everything you've done. Maybe I realized it was a long shot and all that. And she called me. I mean, she had to be at her desk when the email popped up. But Deb and Beth and I sat and looked at all of the sports and were really trying to get it down to what would be the minimum to get them to run. And at this this point, it's around $72,000. So when we talked with Betty Little, their comment was, we didn't know what $50,000 could do for Cambridge. And I wrote the thing and said, basically, that we'd be more than two-thirds of the way there, hoping that she'd understand that I'm asking for the $72,000. But I haven't heard anything.
So the 72 is to reinstate the rest?
All of the ones that the sports got.
If I can make an editorial comment, she also said that this is not to be advertised if we do get the money. So don't be surprised if we don't say too much and just announce all of a sudden there's some sports back with no more explanation than that.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Okay.
What's starting to happen, though, is like what was released for last year. That information usually isn't made public, but it's foilable.
Right.
So it will be let out to the public at some point by someone, I'm sure.
Right.
Because as soon as everybody found out about the bullet aid, it's either called bullet aid or pork. And it's given to the majority in each of the houses. So it's been a bone of contention, and they haven't had a lot for the last few years. So I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't even know how much Betty's going to get.
And if I can make another comment about the meeting with Senator Little, I wasn't sure what to expect going down there. She had somebody from State Ed, higher in the echelon. She had, what was Sean's position?
Sean was the advisor to the majority in the Senate for school aid.
And a couple of her own people, and they all listened, and I think this advisor from the majority was a little bit snotty to us at the beginning. There's no other way to describe that. He said, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And then he sat there for the whole meeting. We were there for almost 2 hours, looking at the numbers that Vince and Beth had produced for him, and finally he looked up, he says, you guys got screwed. We don't know how this happened. This shouldn't happen. So that's why he's looking into it. The numbers just fell completely wrong for us. We got in the same position as the Lake George. I think a lot of second homes in the Cambridge area now. And we don't get their income. Mm-hmm. We just get the assessments. So it skews things. But we're not sure what's going on. Lake Georgia doesn't matter so much. They get 15 or 20% of their budget from the state. We get over 50. So it means a lot more to us. But I was very impressed with the entire crew. They all listened and they were respectful. And they eventually understood that this was not a four crackpots just coming down begging for money. We were really hurting. Mark? We are still, we have things happening now. No, we're in, what's the exact terminology?
We're in impasse, and tomorrow is a meeting with the mediator on both sides. So we may be able to have something. There was a press release about the extracurricular, but we still haven't worked out any of the details at that point yet. But from the standpoint of the contract, there's nothing. I don't know. I've never gone to impasse before, but my understanding is both sides present, and I don't know how long it would take him to mediate or to.
Yeah, did they put a time limit on it?
I'm not aware of that, and I don't know. But his ruling is not binding, or her ruling, the mediator's ruling is not binding. It's just a suggestion of where things go.
Does
I think what. Both sides have to pick and choose. Yep. They each pay 50% of whatever the cost of the mediation is. So that should, it shouldn't sway his vote one or the opinion one way or the other. How it usually works is there's a list of mediators. We have to agree on three, and then they pick from the three. So from that, per Public Employee Relations Board picks from one of those three that we agree to. And I think what you've seen in the paper for other districts lately has been more favorable to the districts as opposed to the teachers. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I would hope that it would be something that would happen soon so we would know for the vote.
Well, Tom wrote up Lake George, which is a wonderful part of the teachers in Lake George.
Yep.
Together.
They were a settling of their contract, and that's, the teachers have been without a contract since last June. So it's one of those situations where we're still in negotiations. Very difficult to make any comments, about that.
No, I know. I just want to know if anything
was
done.
Yeah, we don't have anything at this point to say or announce or jointly. So.
Thank you.
No problem.
BOCs, as it was mentioned, what is the cost of each?
I don't have a final number at this point. No. It's usually around $3,000 for the mediator, and it depends on how long, you know, they get so many days to render a judgment. That's why when Barb asks the question, I'm usually not too encouraged at it being a speedy decision, because the quicker they make the decision, the less money they make.
I'm just curious, in the tuition on these special needs students, it's $336,000. How many students is that covering?
It's usually below that. I don't know if it is.
Is that expense shared with mental health?
No. Well, if it's residential,
yes,
then the county has to pick up a portion of the residential.
Okay.
But right now, that would be one student, and then if another student is placed. So when it comes to the special needs, you always have to budget a little extra, because you can have people that move into your district, like last year, 2 years ago, and actually, well, in the 10-11 year, we had three students move into the district. So after the budget had been voted on and everything, that needed special needs, two of them were BOCES and one was a private placement. So I don't budget for actual, I budget for actual plus potential.
And part of the issue with that, I don't know, if you remember last year, the state made a decision where our budget runs from July 1st to June 30th. They made a decision in February that they were going to go back to January to now all of a sudden charge the districts more or reimburse the districts less. So we were not budgeted for that, and that was about $17,000.
Yeah.
You know
something
what I'm talking
like that.
About.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wanted to say 10 off the top of my head.
Okay, 10,000.
Yeah.
But they hit us with expenditures like that all the time, especially in special ed. We didn't know this year that the student was going to move in February, and that's a huge chunk. We had a student aging out, and we figured that would be some sort of a savings line item, and all of a sudden, we got hit with another student that was. And again, I get criticized. I'm not saying that we shouldn't spend the money on special ed, please, but it is. The thing that I think the state can change is the money should follow the student in the year in which they're in your district, not the following year. Because we had an unbudgeted expenditure this year that was $26,000 a month that could have really thrown us for a loop. And fortunately, we were okay.
Any
anyone else?
Any questions or comments from the board up here? Any more out there? It's not a great budget. It's the one we had to produce, guys. I think it's the best we could do. I'm sorry.
That's a good question. The initiative portal that you're talking about, is that, you have access to special ed paperwork documentation on that also? I didn't see it listed.
I don't believe so.
The parent?
Well,
no.
Yes.
No.
No. You wouldn't be able to view like their IEP. No.
You can have access as a parent.
As a parent, that's what I mean.
No, not through parent portal, though. It has to be a secure.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that. I'd want a secure site.
Well, I'm just asking, we have Infinite Campus Forever, and that has the teacher parent portal.
And you can access them through that?
I can.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I know we have IEP Direct, and that's where the information is on the special ed students. But
the campus will also connect to that as well. It is something we can
access. I do know when you go into, when you go to look up a student, I can't think of what it's called, school's old, thank you. There will be the little icon that I can view all children, and because I have rights to IEP, now I could. So I don't know what they could.
You can get it through school tool?
The school tool, it has a little icon, and you know when you put your cursor over it,
But can you access the individual IEP?
I could.
I believe if you talk with IEP Direct, you might be able to do that.
Okay.
Right. But when it comes to the parent portal portion, like the school where my children attend, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. I can look at, assignments, I can look at their grades, I can look at discipline, I can look at attendance. Prior assessments, but they don't have IEP, so I don't know if I'd be able to do that. But it's fantastic.
Yeah,
And I love it. Like, well, today I just went and looked at it and called up my daughter and said, what's this lab that hasn't been completed? So you are right on. Yeah.
We'll find out.
I think that the parents will really like this feature a lot.
Anything else?
Looks good. Please vote.
Yes, please. Yes. Tell everybody to come out next Tuesday.
And again, if you know anybody who needs an absentee ballot.
Yep.
You know, call Kate.
You're going to have to come in and get it at this point, though.
Mm-hmm. The hours are 12 to 9?
12 to 8.
In the auditorium.
Hi, Robbie.
How are you, Howard?
How are you, buddy?
How you doing?
See you.
Good to see you.